Hi, I'm Susan Clark.
And I'm Chris Marie Campbell.
Welcome to the Beauty of Conflict podcast. Have you ever wanted to take some of what you've learned on the podcast to the next level? Well, check out our new step-by-step, easy-to-use team kit to get your team from avoiding conflict to discovering the beauty in conflict.
To learn more, go to www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. That's www.thriveinc.com/teamkit. Hi, this is Chris Marie Campbell.
And this is Susan Clark.
And today we are going to talk, we're going to evolve our conversation around Jill Bolte Taylor's Whole Brain Living work. And if you haven't, we have several podcasts, two interviews directly with her, but it's about the brain having these four different characters inside of us that have different values and personalities. And really the idea is we tend to overfunction in character one, which is the doer,
you do. Let's just say you have evolved. That was one of your high functioning characters.
Yes,
maybe a little overdrive.
Yeah, Sarge. And it's really our ego wanting to keep us safe.
It is. Yes. It's our ego as thinking of it from a left brain perspective. And it is our executive function in terms of order and putting things together and
structure.
And I think our ego is also part of character two, which is also that same left-sided brain that has taught us how to survive by making sure we are very afraid of things that are lodged in our memory that have impacted us in such a way that we want to make sure they never happen again.
Yes. You know, character two is definitely, we think, gosh, what's the value of character two? Because it's where all our neuroses live. But it is a part of us that has helped us survive. And it's part of our autonomic nervous system that does a lot of healing and repair.
In a weird way, it also has its own version of how we relate to loving, because here's why. The left side of the hemisphere is that individual. It's who you are as an individual. And a lot of what character two is anchoring and fighting against is its experience of being abandoned or its experience of being attacked. And it also has very deep-seated moments of memory of being loved and cared about. So it is how we can define our ability to love and relate in relationship, because that is a more solo individual thing. It's not just like characters three and four on the right-hand side of the brain.
You're jumping ahead, but I really was going to pause and really appreciate that reframe. That it's probably one way of thinking about it. It's the younger part of us that is all about wanting to be accepted and loved.
Has
the wounds of when that didn't happen. And is trying to get back to there.
It's that emotional side of the good and bad of belonging. When you didn't, you had all those emotions of feeling disconnected or connected or cared about.
So we're giving you an overview of the four characters. So character one, kind of the doer.
Organized.
Yeah, planner. And character two, that one that really wants to be loved and wants to keep safety. Those are on the left side, like you were saying. And that's really the me part. I'm going to survive. And we tend to overfunction in our society in characters one and two. The right side of the brain is character three, which is also emotional, sitting next to, it's in that limbic brain next to character two, but it's very much in the present moment. It's, wow, wonder, look at this. This food tastes so good. Let's go play. Let's go discover. Mm-hmm. So it has much more of that immediate, sensual, staying connected to the senses.
And not necessarily having any real, it registers possibly danger, snake, but then it doesn't necessarily go back into the storyline of why this is a bad thing.
Character
two would. So.
And then there's character four, which is in the prefrontal cortex. So next to character one in that executive function part of the brain, but it is actually connected to everything. This is where if there's a connection to source or higher power or God or prana, and Jill Bolte Taylor does a great job describing this, her connection to this when her left brain shut down in her TED Talk, The Stroke of Insight. But it is our deep connection to the all.
To the all. And it's also, though, a part that's kind of like, may not do much of anything without the other parts. I mean, I think a lot of times that's something that, because you think, oh, four is authenticity and it's raw and best form, but it is, but the others are authentic too. And four without anything else could be a little bit like, whoa, you know, so.
I do really appreciate that each of the characters, we think we're going to get to our authentic self. Really, authenticity is recognizing and honoring and hopefully integrating all these aspects of your brain and noticing how they show up at certain times.
And part of one of the reasons that we're talking about this again, and we keep bringing it into our work. And last time, I think I returned from being in an Equus training program, and we had done some work around the whole brain living. And this week, I wanted to relate it to my memoir, Crazy, Cracked, Warm, and Deep, because I've been doing a little more work with that in terms of a book club that I've done now a couple times.
And you're also going up to Haven.
Yes. And one of the things that
Talita,
I realized, Talita Come Alive. And I really want to bring this work in, and I've wanted to bring Crazy, Cracked, Warm, and Deep in. And I kind of am getting how, for me, Crazy, Cracked, Warm, and Deep are, in some respects, very reflective of those four characters.
Help tie that in to, for our listeners.
Well, I think of crazy, and I think of the part of me that has defined myself as crazy. It's very much, I would put the pieces of my world together in the way that would, a lot of times, was criticized as too creative, too imaginative, too whatever. But if I actually just honor that, that crazy was actually a path, a part of my character one that was putting things together in a way to keep me safe, alive, going forward. And so my crazy is also very creative. So it's not necessarily, there's a lot of goodness in it.
And it sounds like you experience your crazy. It has its own form of structure. Because
yes,
that's really what
yes.
character
and
one.
I can even remember so long ago, even as a child, when people would be like, why do you leave your room so messy? Because it was. And it would present as something that was very crazy. But I knew exactly where everything was. And I actually knew that because it was so messy, I would know if anyone entered my room. And that was actually a critical thing for me to know. And surprisingly enough.
I actually believe that about you, because you can find something in chaos on a computer, in the house. I see you do it in your desk, which continues to have kind of a messy feel to it. But you are really good given, like, I'll give up, like, oh, because I like more, my character one is much more structured in files. But I do see how your character one has kept you safe, because
yeah.
of character two. Oh my God, it's not safe if somebody comes in. So let's create a system where we know.
Well, and I even think of, I've referenced this a lot, but when I was young, I actually had trouble spelling or doing anything like that. But what I could do was retain large quantities of information. If someone read to me, I would have within my brain the entire, whatever they read to me. And so the next day when I asked early on in my early elementary years to read a paragraph, if I had heard everything up until then, I could just read the next paragraph. Now, of course, I wasn't actually reading, which eventually caught up with me. My teachers found out that I really wasn't able to read in that fashion, and I got into a lot of trouble. Well, I got into a remedial class and had to, yeah. So, but in my own mind, I think that was part of my brilliance of my character one. My
sure.
character one was much more auditory, and that's how it could keep the order.
Yeah.
So
map out, you've talked about the four characters, character one, two, three, and four, and going in a kind of a counterclockwise circle in our brain, and crazy, cracked, warm, and deep.
So the crazy is where I think of as my character one. And I do think for somebody else, understanding crazy and creative as a character one aspect is important.
Actually, I can see how my character one, the craziness is the level of perfectionism
yes.
or trying to get it right or trying really hard, people pleasing, all of that to try to keep me safe. Definitely, even in ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics, it is the insanity of trying to control everything. And
yes.
it's literally, that's what it creates is insanity, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So that's powerful. I'm just letting that. So those of you that have more of a style like mine, that's maybe how you could relate to character one being your crazy.
Right. And character two, cracked. Like, I do think of all of the, you can even think of cracks in the heart as they're pain points, but they're also points at which you get some light in. And So the cracks are, and often when I have a cracking experience in my life, I mean, I've learned to appreciate them now, but mostly when they happen, I tend to get really pissed off about them, upset about them, painfully. Like I go into all the neurotic things that character two does. So it's helpful for me to realize, oh, that's actually not necessarily always bad. It's if you go down a blaming track, if you can catch yourself in it, then you can actually do something different. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I relate character two to the cracked. Right. Cracked, I think it's, again, I think of these as continuums, cracked or broken. Well, and I'm really my character two, I feel broken. And the stories, that's when that kind of wild side comes out. And the stories are really painful and victim-like. And I really go deep into despair. Whereas the other side of that cracked is actually where I can start to see a little bit of an opening.
I appreciate that you're bringing this up, Susan, the idea that each of these kind of, each of our character, these parts of our brain have a balanced side and an out of balance side.
I mean, that's how I'm looking at it, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And so over in character three is where I think of as warm, because character three is very immediate. It's the sensations. And I think warm, it could be cold, it could be any sensation. And so that's how character three comes into play for me in terms of crazy, cracked, and warm and deep.
I also think character three in warm is also very immediate and loves to connect. The left side of our brain, which is where character three in the limbic part and the character four in the prefrontal cortex, but they're all about the we. They're not about this separate, I've got to survive sort of thing. And I want to experience the world.
Yes. And in our raw emotional form, if we just allow emotions to be the energy that they are, which I think is what character three is like, it moves. Yeah. It's a movement in process. And we get stuck in the stories, which actually come back to character two, which are a whole different kind of way we can. So anyway, that's character three.
And moving on to character four.
Yes. And character four is deep, because I do think of character four as where there's the intimacy with the universe, intimacy with all of myself, intimacy with the world around me. And that is incredibly, like, beyond.
It's very deep.
Very deep. Yeah. I mean, you could think of it as, I mean, a lot of times people think of it as consciousness is higher. I think it's consciousness is actually deeper. It's below the surface. And we spend a lot of time in our lives at the surface, like an iceberg. There's tons beneath the water. And that's, I think, is a beautiful space. So,
and this is all coming up because you're going to lead Come Alive, and your intention is to actually integrate whole brain living as well as crazy, cracked, warm, and deep into the program that already has so much richness in it. That's so powerful. If you haven't checked out Come Alive at haven.ca, you should, because it's a great program.
It is haven.comealive, but CA, you know, same initials, but it actually stands for Canada at this point. But so that's neither here nor there.
I have to say, and how this is coming up for me, and we will get to Ted Lasso, but how this is coming up for me is watching my own self when I recognize I'm out of balance. Because whole brain, when you're in your whole brain, there's this whole brain coherence, which, okay, let me give you the opposite. When you're stressed, the brain actually breaks into compartments. It starts to get incoherent, and the community of neurons say, hey, I'm going to stay in my own thing. I'm not going to work with you. We've got to survive.
It's like silos in a universe and in an organization.
It is. And it's like, we get more selfish. I've got to take care of me. Our brain, different parts of our brain get more selfish and say, no, we're going to take care of ourselves. So when you're in that place of feeling like I've got to take care of me, it's a signal. One, you're not in whole brain. You're not in this coherent place. And you're in a survival mode. So it's really costing you. And one thing happened yesterday where I was in a meeting, and somebody, because we've had COVID, you didn't know that, but we did. So I'm behind on some of my action items. And this one woman, I wasn't going to be able to give her what she wanted. And she's, oh my gosh, so that means this, that, and the other thing. And she wasn't telling me I was wrong, but my character too felt, oh my God, I'm a bad, and it's my character too, is feels very young. Like, I'm a bad little girl. This was not as conscious as I'm making it now. In retrospect, this is what I recognize. I've got to fix this. So I fired off an email to somebody else. You've got to give me this. So it didn't sound like a little kid. It sounded like a bully. So I'm pressuring somebody else.
Character one stepped in.
Exactly. You're right. Character one said, okay, I'm going to make it happen. Not telling this woman, but so I'm in a reaction, feeling like I'm wrong, thinking she's blaming me, but feeling so bad. And so then I put pressure on somebody else. And I thought, wow, this is, in retrospect, I really saw my out of balance. And this comes up true, too, in dance. I'm in Dance Week. I perform each year with Dance Elements. And we do four shows, and I'm in two dances. And the best thing in dance is, one, to learn the choreography, but then to actually enjoy the process of being on stage. And we had our tech rehearsal two nights ago. And I tell you, I did not enjoy being on stage. I was trying to be perfect and right. And I saw the video and I was like, oh my gosh, that does not, I don't transmit the joy that I normally experience. And so I also attribute that to character one, wanting to get it right, really, because character two thinks, if I don't do it perfectly, I'm going to be humiliated. And so then character one comes in and says, try harder, try this. Oh, you're not doing that right. Look what she's doing. Comparing, criticizing, and versus when I can drop into my body and into character three and my hip energy, my feminine energy, and just be in the moment, it's a whole different experience. Even if I don't do it just right, it doesn't matter as much because I'm in the flow and the experience. And really, when we watch somebody, not necessarily an Olympic ice skater who's doing it perfectly, something like that has to happen. But when we watch theater or expressive dance, we really enjoy somebody enjoying themselves. That's what the magnetic energy is. And so my hope is to not, to actually dance with my whole brain. So to know the choreography and stay in step, character one will help me do that. But also to feel my aliveness and my expressiveness and have fun connecting both with myself, my troupe and the audience.
Yes. So now to wrap this up a little bit and bring this home, we have also been in our experiences lately. We decided to rewatch season one and two of Ted Lasso to prepare us for going into what is being presented as the final season of Ted Lasso.
We wanted to get the most Lasso energy because we love the show.
And interestingly enough, as we've been watching season three, once again, whole brain living comes into play. Mm-hmm. And especially those of you, I mean, this could be a spoiler if you haven't watched things, but probably not too
I think
much.
The relationship is set at the end of season two between Nate and Ted and watching how they approach.
And you've watched Nate. There's lots of demonstrations in season one of two, Nate having a lot of character too.
Because he's never been acknowledged by his dad. He's trying to be good enough. He never gets that love. And so he tries to be really smart and attack.
And you see him even as he's evolving into a coach, you know, and the whole coaching team at times are kind of looking at him like, really? That's what you're going to do? Like, because he wants credit for everything. He wants to be the one who gets the credit for what the team did. And needless to say, he evolves. He finally succeeds in becoming a coach of a team, West Ham.
And Rupert's team.
And I would say he is kind of living the character two, driving his character one, because he is a good statistician. He does some incredible things, tactician, when it comes to creating soccer plays and stuff. But when it's coming from his character two, driving him, it comes out of fear, all sorts of.
Well, he wants to get credit as he's supposed to be the wonder kid, and he's the wonder kid. He blurts out the wrong thing and wants to get a seat at the table, and the Jay just ignores him. Like, he's got all this inadequacy, and it's so sad because how he deals with it is to
tighten up even more.
Yeah, and be mean and hurt other people, specifically Ted.
And then
tries to, at least.
And then there's Ted, who is just doing Ted. Now, Ted has his own character, too, in there. We actually learned some things about his character, too. Yeah. But he also, I think, lives more in terms of how he coaches and stuff in character four.
Yeah.
And as Matt gives, like, the other people around him are actually the ones that appear to be doing most anything related to actual football or soccer.
Yeah,
and he rarely knows much about it. But there's no question of his brilliance of bringing that character four into building a team.
Well, it's clear what he cares about most is helping these young men become the best versions of themselves.
But also, I think even that too, I mean, that gets laid out in one and two. He talks about that as his driving force. But I think you also see how it's his character four that coaches football.
Yeah.
And it is all about the team. And he brings that. And there's some things that happen in season three, like his coaching team he says, this probably wouldn't be a good thing to do, but they did anyway.
This Roy and Beard want to do something to fire up the team when they're not doing well in a match. And it involves Nate, and it's not a really good thing. And
of course, it totally backfires because they all go into, okay, go ahead, Christmas, tell the story.
No, it does backfire. You just jump to the punchline. But, you know, Ted said, I don't think that's a good idea. And Roy and Beard go ahead and do it because the team's just so dejected. But they come out and they are in a rage and they play even worse. I mean, people get ejected from the team.
I think at one point it's like there are more red cards than there are penalties. That's a bad goal. And that's a bad sign. So anyway, I think it was sent a classic thing because I think that's that would be a character one. I'm going to take charge here. The compartmentalization of what was happening because they weren't doing well. And let's just do something to fire them up. But they fired up character two, which did not actually generate.
The team's character two.
And the team went out and,
they were horrible.
But what was interesting was even afterward, what was Ted's thing? Well, there's still a lot of football to be played.
So what happened is Roy and Beard were like, hey, yell at us. Tell us we're wrong, hit us, punish us, Ted. And he's, you know what? There's still a lot of football to be played. Meaning he's still got this big picture like, yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, it didn't work. But he's still not in, oh my God, we didn't win. So that zooming out is really, I would say, I think we're saying, is really that character four perspective.
So, yes.
And I guess my character too is hurt because you keep jumping to the punchlines and I don't get to actually tell the whole story. Just acknowledging that.
I hear you. I'm picking up some of the signals. So I'm glad to hear the actual what's going on because I get it. I am too fast to the punchline.
Yeah, and it was my punchline.
Okay.
Well, Ted's, but that's okay.
And this is perfect for me in terms of going into a Come Alive because as I'm going into this Come Alive, I'm leading this Come Alive, and I really want to be a little more like Ted and actually hold my own knowing of what works best as if we're a united team and not any one person's mastery or expertise, but the willingness to embrace what gets presented. And I've been known, I will admit, when I'm leading sometimes to get very concerned about what I think has to happen.
Yes. And your character one takes over.
Or my character two.
Yeah.
Character two is very afraid. Character one takes over. And I also have had times where I haven't done that. So I'm looking forward to this upcoming Come Alive and then you joining me for Couples Alive and the opportunity to even play with this as I do this leading and as you come in and join in our leadership.
So. Yes. And even tonight during my dance performance, next 4 nights, I hope I can actually bring my whole brain, which means my whole body and my energy on the stage and have fun doing the dance.
Yes.
Okay. Those are our thoughts about Ted Lasso versus Nate. Take care and whole brain living.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. Susan here. As a coach, a lot of my time is spent helping clients speak up in a direct and honest way in their relationships, at home and at work. Chris Marie and I decided to create a Speak Up Kit to help you do that for yourself. It's the best of our best work that we've gathered to help you. To learn more, go to thriveinc.com/speak-up. That's www.thriveinc.com/speak-up.